Well, now take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get a bite all day.
I just love that.
Don't you rush away.
I really do. What's that? The new music?
Yeah.
I don't know. It just made me giggle. New music's always good. And the fun part is that's a song that nobody realizes that there were actually lyrics to.
Yeah, I've got the whistling version of it too. I got to get that off the computer at the house and get it in here. I just got to listen to it. Oh yeah, there we go. Okay. Sorry, I don't know why. I've listened to that song 100 times. I'm sitting here listening to it. It just was funny. Hey, Barb.
Hi.
Yeah, one of those things. I got to tell you, I'm sitting here, and I was out front, and listen, the guy comes in, and he says, well, I got to do this, and I'm going to rig up, because I'm going to go fishing in the channels down here, and as soon as you hear the word channels, you know, they're just not from here, because they're canals to the rest of us, because they were dug canals. They're not channels. And so he's saying, you know, I'm going to go fishing in the channel, and, you know, I'm going to put a hook, and I'm going to put my sinker 12 inches away from the hook, and I'll catch something, won't I?
Nope.
Yeah, well, you might.
But nope. It's got to be 13 inches.
Got to be 13.
Can't be 12. Right. Fish won't bite if the sinker's only 12 inches above.
And, you know, it's amazing. Now, people have... They come down from up north or wherever, just like I did, just like you did.
Yeah, like everybody did. Unless you file your teeth to points and drop out of trees onto animals and run around in a loincloth, you're not a Florida native. You came here from up north at some point.
I actually have a son who was born here. You know,
right.
My son was, I have three kids, and the only one that was born here was my son.
Right.
But he doesn't live here. So,
He moved away. And that's the strange thing, is anybody born here moves away, and everybody else moves here.
Yeah. You know, he's from Kenosha, don't you know? Hey, you know, he comes down there, and he go fishing in the big water out here. You know, he's quite a fella there, you know.
A lot of ice fishing?
Oh, yeah. He catches 2-3 trays a day up there, you know. But when he come down here, he go fishing in the channels. I got to tell you, it's quite the thing, because if you don't have your bait, you know, 12 inches from your sinker, you're not going to catch nothing. And
it must not hook on the ice up there. I don't know what it is. But no, you're absolutely right. Fish the channels. No, you're fishing the canals. The canals end at channels.
Yeah. And the weird part about it is they get this idea there's only one way to fish here, which is, to me, kind of crazy, because where they're from, they fish with bobbers, they do sinkers, they do different rigs.
Well, sometimes. I mean, and that was the one thing that I really had to get over here, is we did a lot of our walleye fishing three basic ways. You were fishing a night crawler under a weight. You were trolling up at Lake Erie. Or you were out on the shallow end, the Ohio end of Lake Erie, with an Erie Deary in each hand, jigging for them. We didn't really stray from that pattern much. Trout was the same.
Really?
Every year, every time. I mean, but the tackle was easy. You needed a package of Eagle Claw, pre-rigged, number 10.
Right.
You know, barbed hooks, and a can of Old Mike salmon eggs, and that's pretty much how you did it. You know, when you were a young kid, it was all salmon eggs until you got up the nerve to grab the night crawlers or the maggots or the mealworms and stuff like that.
Yeah, I get that.
Fishy, fishy. Yeah.
But what happens is, down here, you've got three basic forms to fish. I mean, there's 1,000 variances, but you can freeline, which is just the bait, leader, hook, you know, no sinkers or bobbers or anything. Or you can fish with a bobber, or you can fish with a sinker.
Yep.
And it's just surprising how many people think you have to have a sinker to fish here. Even though when they look out on the water, you can see mullet jumping, and the best real estate agent in the world, Mr. Mullet.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
You have the French jumping
fish.
Yeah,
we have so many fish, they're jumping out of the water.
Yeah. Les mollets. Les mollets will sell your house for you, sir.
Right.
The guy
right.
comes in, he looks out back, and the fish are jumping out of the water.
Yeah.
I'll buy the house. I'll give you more than you want.
Exactly.
Let me have this house.
Exactly. But, and it's one of the things that I try and preach in any of the seminars or educational trips that I do is to be flexible out there. Have options. You know, you get the guys that come in here and, well, what pound leader do I need? All of them.
Yeah, because you never
start at 15 and work your way up. You need all of them.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
I'm not going to argue with you on that one. I'm going to say your average is 25 or 30. That would help land most fish, won't spook them, but you got time to get them up.
I don't like our packages of split shots.
Why?
Because it's a pack of one size.
Yeah, but that's what I like.
Right. I like the boxes that come with five or six different sizes because our currents change.
Well, that's true.
And I like that flexibility. And so I think that's
I guess
one of the common mistakes.
I have to order more frying pans?
Yeah. I think that's a big common mistake that people make is they don't stay flexible. They take that same rod, reel, and weight, and that's how they fish.
Yeah, I get that. And that's kind of my point is, I guess the point of when I started with this was that if you got two people fishing, one person put a sinker on, the other person put a bobber on. It doesn't matter how you want to fish. It matters how the fish want to bite, which fish is there.
Right.
If you've got ladyfish, trout, mackerel, chances are you're going to do better on a bobber.
Yep.
And
yep.
if you've got snappers, redfish, that, you're going to do better with a sinker.
Absolutely. If you and your significant other go fishing, put hers on a bobber, put yours on a weight, and see what happens. Now, if she's the one catching the fish, before you put that bobber on your line, make sure you switch rigs with her. Make sure it's not just her.
You know, and it's funny how often that happens.
Yeah, I lived it.
When I was running charters all the time, the worst time we ever had, I had two couples on the boat, and which is, I like doing families and couples and stuff like that. It was more my thing, more relaxed. But this one woman could do no wrong. She wasn't even casting. She couldn't cast. She could land fish and fight them, but she had a real hard time casting.
Sure.
So I'm casting for her, and as well as everybody on the boat, getting them to where the baits are going to be. I could take her rod, throw it over there, and boom, big snook on. I mean, it would take maybe
seconds.
Yes, yeah, seconds to 2 minutes, and she'd have a nice snook over 30 inches. I mean, battling this monster back. And I was switching everybody around, and at one point, she had caught so many fish, and I'm trying to get this other woman to catch a fish. I took a rod, threw it blindly over my just a blind cast out to open water, handed her the rod as I went underneath it after I threw it, and I just said, here, I'll get yours in a minute, but at least you're in the water. Took the other woman's rod, threw it in the exact spot where this woman had caught three snook. It bait lands perfectly. Everything's there. She's holding the pole. In the meantime, the woman who's, I just threw it blindly out in open water, catches like a 27-inch trout, and she's fighting that up, and everything's going on. We get that fish in, unhook it. The guys are casting over by the shore, not doing much. The other woman's line is still sitting there. I get that off. And I say, okay, and I put a bait on, and I walk up to the front, throw it back in the big snook hole, and tell the other woman, let's check your bait, starts reeling it in, and the woman catches another snook. And those two couples never talked to each other again. They had been friends for years.
That's not good.
And it was, I sat there and watched the end of it. I could have threw her bait on land. The fish would have crawled up on, grew legs, crawled up, grabbed the bait, and came back in the water.
And sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. It took
all
me 12 years to get my first cobia. It took Barb a matter of 12 seconds. So sometimes it pays to be lucky.
Okay,
you know,
where's the picture of you with the cobia hanging from the T-top?
Well, I know you wanted pictures to put
on
the internet.
That picture.
Well, you wanted to put them on the website so we could show people Facebook. But that's not the one we're putting on Facebook. That one gets saved for the fishing club meeting.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I was just
putting
it.
It
wasn't on
ready.
Facebook. It was supposed to be on. I wanted it for the fishing club page.
I've got it all ready. So if you want to see that picture, you have to go to our fishing
club
meeting.
Got to come to the meeting. Because he won't let me see it again. I saw this picture when he first got the cobia. It's the best cobia picture ever. A boy and his cobia. It's a love story.
And I tell you what. It was the best tasting fish I've ever had in my life.
It was marinated for 12 years.
Marinated for 12 years in frustration, yes. Which will make any fish taste good.
I won't forget that night for a while. He goes, I got to come over here, come to the barrier, you got to see
it. And the funny part was that was right as Andrew was going into boot camp.
Right.
He wanted a tarpon trip with his mother before he left. And he wanted a night tarpon trip at the 41 Bridge. And I was out there to get bait and supposed to pick him up at 7 o'clock. At 7:20, I was still out in the middle of the harbor fighting this cobia. And he called. And I stopped in the middle to answer the phone. He said, well, are you coming? I said, I'm out in the harbor catching a cobia. I'll be there when I'm done. I'm not letting this thing go.
Yeah, sometimes there's certain, you have to settle these personal grievances with a fish.
Yeah, you do.
I mean,
you really do sometimes. You really, and I'll do it sometimes to a fault out there on charters. That guy keeps casting to that same spot and keeps getting picked clean every time.
Right.
And it's past time to go find a new hole. And come on, I want to see what the hell that fish is. Would you please catch it? I really want to know what's doing that.
I want
that.
To know what it is.
Yeah, and it usually ends up to be a 4-inch snapper or sheephead or the world's hungriest pinfish. But I got to know.
Yeah, I've been there. Been there, done that. But I've been lucky with my target fish. I don't know why, but I've over the years, I've picked fish that I have to go fishing for.
Sure.
And just that intrigued me and just got me crazy about it. And I would go out and go to unbelievable detail about where I was going, how I was doing it, what I was going to do. And I would do it again and again and again until this is what I could do.
The only fish I ever did that with was the cobia. How long did I avoid tarpon?
Oh, I never had to
care
with
less
tarpon.
About tarpon.
I never had to do with tarpon.
And then till you catch your first one, and then you're kind of bitten by the bug. But that bug of mine has fallen off. I'm right back to it. I could care less about personally going out and catch tarpon. I want to go catch what eats them.
No, I actually I did it with snook, I did it with trout, did it with redfish, I did it with sharks, did it with cobia, did it with... The hardest one to nail down was the triple tail. That one was my passion for years, triple tail.
I could see that happening. I got lucky.
But this was before braided, you had to use 6 or 8 pound mono, little light leaders, you're fighting them around buoys and stuff.
I got lucky with my first snook. My first snook was about 15 pounds.
That'll do it.
You know, and remember it like it was yesterday. We were out at Boca Grande, and I will swear to you to this day that shrimp never touched the water. He caught that thing before he come up and out of the water and hit that shrimp before it ever even hit the water.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was used to catching big fish. I wasn't used to our fish down here. And, gotcha. You know, Robert said that's a 10-year snook. What do you mean it's a 10-year? It's 10 years old? He says, no, it'll be another 10 years before you catch one that size. And he was right. It took, you know, 10 years to get, you know, another big 15-pound snook. And my first redfish, I think, was oversized.
But you've been lucky like me on that. All of a sudden, these fish just come up.
Automatically appear.
Yeah, they would magically appear, and then the next thing you know, I'm obsessed, and I've got to find out every little detail about it. I got to know where they live, how they breed. I mean, and so that when I go out, I know exactly where to go and what to do, and I would just obsess over all these different fish.
I still do it with redfish. I mean, we stopped fishing a tournament that wasn't a redfish tournament to go fish for redfish in the middle of the tournament because there's a school of 50-pound redfish.
Now that I would probably do too.
You know, and okay, the hell with the tournament for the next hour. We're gonna go fish these. Yeah. You know, but I've never really.
My obsession this year is to get on the schooling black drum.
I would like to do that. It's not something that.
No, I'm.
I would go I'm out just, of my way for.
I want to go out when they get out in the middle of the harbor, and you got hundreds of big 40, 60, 80-pound fish all boiling and spawning and doing their thing. I want to do that again. I want to see that again.
I may be suppressing it from the trauma, from the cobia. I don't want to go through another 12 years of frustration on another species. So.
Yeah, I get that. But anyway, we're talking about, you know, the nice thing when you listen to the radio fishing show is how we stay on target. Boy, when we start a topic, right. We just go right through to the end with it, you know.
Needless to say, we're not even supposed to be here today. I was supposed to be out on the water. It was supposed to be a beautiful day today.
Oh, yeah, we lied about that, didn't we? Today
well,
was on
no,
its way.
Well, no, we didn't lie about it, technically. You know, I have always said that the only bigger liar than a fisherman's a weatherman, so...
The only one,
we made the mistake of listening to them.
Yeah, the worst part about it is here you got people that get paid more than I do to be right
wrong
less often
to
than
be
I
wrong.
Am. Yeah, I mean, just, and they got computers to help them. You know, we got to hold this stuff in our head.
Yeah.
You know, they got computers and graphs and models and, I'm sorry, they're just, this was supposed to be a partly cloudy day today. And it's been partly cloudying all over us. That we had a 30% chance of rain. We've had 30% since last night. It's rained steady at my house. I mean,
constant.
It's not backed up. They said we're going to get a quarter, half inch of rain. We've had over
three. If you go to other countries and you watch other countries' TV shows, they have naked women do the weather.
Yeah, there's a reason for
this. It's the only thing you'll get out of it.
Yeah.
If you're going to tell a lie, you might as well wrap it in a pretty bow.
I guess so. My favorite weather guy was up in Wausau, Wisconsin, several decades ago, 40 years ago. He used to sit there, and at the end of the weather broadcast, he had a dartboard up, and he'd close his eyes and throw a dart at the board and say, okay, I gave you the forecast, now here's the real one. Look, partly cloudy right on
probably,
the line.
He was probably more accurate that way than he was listening to the computer and the forecast models.
Yeah. So anyway, basically, when you're going out fishing down here, try and vary it up. The more people you have, the more different styles of fishing you should be trying to see what the fish want.
Yeah, definitely. And we're starting to get back into that time frame where you need to start having different tackle on your boat, too. It's time to start, just here in about a month, it's time to start putting those big rods on the boat.
March.
And be watching for your shark, your tarpon, your cobia. And it's probably a little early for tarpon, but unless you're running the river, though, those things are going to start spinning up mid to end March, around Easter.
I'm going to say, you know, it's hard to tell, because it could, in February, it could go warm.
Yeah, it could drop off.
Or it can stay cold. As soon as it starts warming up, there's going to be a lot of fish here.
Yep.
There's going to be tons. Now, I'm looking at the weather. We got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, gorgeous day. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Saturday.
Theoretically.
Tomorrow's supposed to be a beautiful day.
Yes.
But we got 5 days of even weather. And then somewhere on Wednesday, Thursday, another storm coming by. So if you can get time off, you know, tomorrow's going to be the iffiest of Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And the closer you get to Wednesday, the better the fishing's going to be.
Better it's going
to
be.
Because they've had a lot of time to lay out.
Consistency.
Relax, consistency in the weather, the air pressure, the water pressure.
Everything. Everything.
So everything, you know, we're looking at each day's going by. Now, I'm expecting to be real busy Saturday because
it's nice for a change. Yeah, we're going to be busy.
If anybody's like me, I'm telling you, I would much rather be jumping on the boat and going Saturday.
Yeah,
I have had enough.
It's going to be so tough for me on Saturday. I have a trip, but it's a harbor tour. So I have to go drive around the water full of fish and not fish.
Actually, I think you're a little safer because Saturday's going to go either way. It could either go great or it could go seriously bad.
It's hard for me regardless. This is why I don't do cruises.
Yeah,
it's hard for me to be on a boat and not fish.
Yeah, how am I going to get on a boat and spend a week on a boat driving around?
All a boat without a rod holder is a really expensive dock.
Yes.
That's it.
It's like, I'm sorry, if I want to drink, I have a pirate ship. I can drink at my pirate ship. I don't, you know, I just...
I have no want to cruise on a boat.
No, I'm with you on that. Me locked up, especially I'm such an obsessive smoker, as we all know. I'm sitting here, I got fake cigarettes going so I don't choke out Kale and Barb and everybody back here. But it's, you know, I don't do well in those things. So I'm with you. Nope. I love my boat. I love being on my boat. I can go with you and your boats. And I love that because we're doing something over there.
Exactly.
Now, to me, if I'm going to drink She loves to gamble. I like to drink. I don't drink when I'm in town. But when I leave town, that's what road trips are for.
Yeah, exactly.
So now I can do it in Vegas where I have lots of, you know, artificial high oxygen levels.
Yeah,
and I don't fall down so much. Yes.
I mean, I cleared Sunday. I've got to take barb fishing Sunday.
Oh, I think that was
written, and so it be told.
Yes. My son,
exactly.
You shall take the wife fishing.
I've got to take her fishing Sunday. So,
what's your game plan Sunday?
I don't know. I usually, honestly, when I go fishing for me, I don't have a game plan. And it bugs the snot out of Barb. Because, you know, I have to watch you put all these pictures on Facebook. We go fishing, you don't catch a damn thing. Because I'm just going to throw shrimp in the water and relax. And
I go back to me and Terry.
I could care less about catching fish.
We anchor the boat up off the stern. You know, the nose is blown with the wind. And we're in the sun. And it's nice and cool. And, you know, put the rods all in the rod holder out the front of the boat, and she's on one side on the thing, and I'm on the other. And when we wake up, the bait's gone.
Yeah, I was going to say, usually sleep. The one time I drove by you on the harbor, you two were out cold.
And we wake up, the bait's gone. Okay, this was a great trip. We go back to the house. What a great day that was.
I want to go hit Trout Creek and work that a little better than I have been, different than I have been.
But I think it's a good idea, but go just south of there, down to the Pig Branch or Shoe Creek, the next two down. Work the mouths of those two creeks a little bit. They don't get any pressure.
They don't for some reason.
Because they're not on, you know, they're not really on anybody's radar. And they're nice little creeks. They've got good depth.
What's the next
good
big one down?
Them. Oyster, with the lake in it.
Yeah, that I don't like.
The mouth Oyster Creek I do well in. Now, if you
we had a bad experience there one day. We went in on a trolling motor and came out on plane. We got surrounded by those green horse flies. And I mean swarmed by those green horse flies.
Well, it used to be one of my favorite places to fish because a couple of decades ago, back in the 80s, you could go into Oyster Creek and you go through the lake, which used to have about 4 feet of water in it. It was a lot deeper. It's only 18 inches, 2 feet now. But we go out the creek on the back side, and there was a little hole there. Well, that used to be an artesian well, and it was 50, 60 feet deep. And you could drop your line straight down in there. There was monster fish. It was very cool. And all the houses around there, they pump groundwater. Everybody has to take a shower and make coffee and tea and stuff. So it doesn't flow anymore, and so it's all filled in. Once that creek stopped flowing, the mouth
downhill.
Of it is good fishing because there's so much current. Yeah, there's so much water on the backside. It's a big pond, and you get that nice flow through there. And this time of year, you get an outgoing tide. The mouth of that creek is really good because all that warm water that's being cooked up back there all flows out. But it always breaks my heart because I remember when the artesian wells, you know, the spring was flowing and it was
amazing to go back. I've got to go check on my redfish tree.
Oh, yeah.
It's the last time I was there, all the leaves were gone.
Really? They froze off?
I don't think they froze. This was before the cold fronts. I think the tree died. And I went, and there was not a single leaf left on that tree. The one guy that comes in the shop all the time fishes that hole, too. And he said that the tree was actually starting to fall down inside.
Wow.
And now that it's falling down inside, I think it will go back to being good structure.
Right.
But now it's just a colossal pain in the butt to get the redfish out.
Yeah, because they got trees to wrap around.
We'll see what it'll do and see what becomes of it.
Now, that's the one, unless the birds are sitting there, there's no fish?
No, that's upriver.
Oh, okay.
That's upriver. This is the one down on the west side. I think you called it Stony Creek? No.
Gravel Creek.
Gravel Creek, yeah.
Yeah. Years ago, and some of these places got their names because 20, 30 years ago, they had features which described them very well. And 25, 30 years ago, Gravel Creek, when you went up the side, you took the bend, you came around another bend, and then you went up, and there was so much shell and oysters and stuff. It looked like a gravel bottom creek, which was very unusual here.
Sure, sure.
And But nowadays, it's kind of more muck bottom creek. But years ago, it was literally looked like the water would ripple over those and come down, and it looked just like a beautiful northern gravel creek.
Yeah, it's looking like I'm probably going to have to relearn that now that tree has changed. And I like that hole.
Was that the tall one on the right hand side when you went in? It was just a kind of tall single tree stood by itself.
When you went in, it makes almost a complete U-turn.
Right.
It was right on that U-turn on the outside of the bank. It was just a big mangrove that was leaning over the water. And it was perfect because the water was about 20 feet wide right there. And that mangrove tree took 10, 12 feet over the water. It was a big shady tree, and it was beautiful in the summertime to fish that hole. And it's saved my butt out there on charters numerous times.
Yeah, sometimes I had that after Hurricane Charlie.
I don't like losing the holes that save my butt.
No, I went out, and the guy said, well, I want to catch some snook and redfish. I said, that shouldn't be no problem. We can go out and do it. And I went to all my spots.
Nothing.
There was nothing there. I mean, it was just sucking wind. I had to run all the way up towards the Myakka. I completely shredded my confidence because everything I knew, every leaf, every tree, every branch
was wrong,
and they just didn't exist. Yeah. It's like my house; it was just gone.
Yep.
So, yeah, I had to relearn a lot of stuff over the last few years on what's going on. I was told some people a place to go because they were putting their boat in. They were down for a week, and I was trying to explain to them. And I showed them where to go and what to do and all that. And they showed me a picture of it. And he says, oh, look at my fish. I said, oh, you were, you know. And he says, yeah. And she says, well, how you can tell? It all looks alike. No, it doesn't. Every place looks like that place. It's like if you look over a herd of cattle, it looks like just a bunch of cows. You take a cowboy, he can tell you which cow is which on every one of them.
Facebook has caused so much crap in the charter community now. It's not even funny. Used to be you didn't know people were fishing your holes unless you went by them and they were there.
Yeah.
Now you see these guys holding up pictures of fish. He's in my hole. And you can tell just by the shape of the mangroves.
Yeah, each mangrove has its own shape.
Yeah, and you get to the point where you can sit there and go through Facebook and pretty much see just about where everybody's fishing just by looking at the mangroves behind them.
Yeah, I used to make people crazy because they'd come in with a picture of a fish and all you'd see behind them is mangrove, and I'd tell them where they were fishing. They're like, I know the spots, you know. Like I said, I have obsessed about a lot of things over the years, and I don't know how or why I have the, you know, this obsession about mangroves or redfish or trout or whatever. But luckily, because I'm fishing Frank, it all worked.
Right.
But
I sometimes don't even care to hide it. I'll put the Sanssouci trestle right there in the background. Doesn't bother me the least bit.
Well, you know, there's no secret place. Hang on just a second.
Boy, you bothered me. Folks won't find us now because Mr. Satch and Mr. Cross, we gone fishing instead of just a wishing. Bop.
I'm sorry, I had to throw that in.
Two of my favorite singers.
Bing Crosby, Louis Armstrong.
Yeah, how can you go wrong with that?
No, it's all good. Anyway, but on that lighter, more mellow note, it's rainy, it's cold, it's a great day for a movie. Hopefully tomorrow's going to be better. What's your best guess on tomorrow?
My best guess on tomorrow, I think it will be better fishing, but it will be tough. I think you're going to have to do a lot of moving around. I think tomorrow is going to be one of those days where you're going to burn a lot of fuel. 5 minutes at this hole, move on. 5 minutes at that hole,
I'm going to go against you on that one. I'm going to say at least 30 minutes in a spot. The water's still real, real cold. It's in the 50s, mid-50s to low 60s, and it's going to take a while. I'm going to say spend a half hour, 40 minutes, letting the bait soak, and then if you don't get anything, go to the next spot. But 5 to 6 minutes ain't going to get it because it's just it's going to take them a long time. It took me a long time to get from the fireplace to getting dressed to getting out the door and into the
you're
truck.
You're talking to one that can't get out of the truck without running the seat heater all morning. You know, my back's locked up in this cold weather. But so. I think my second best bet would probably be up in Turtle Bay in the middle, above the sandbar in the middle. There's a nice 3-4 foot deep hole that runs up through the center of Turtle Bay. I would probably drift the snot out of that, put a shrimp underneath a bobber, pull it behind the boat, throw artificials off the other side, and try and find some of those nice trout that have been in there. There's been permit slash pompano in there. Nobody really knows what they are. So.
Right. Pominettas.
Yeah.
The one in the middle.
Everybody argues, is that a permit? Is that a pompano? Well, let's see. They both need to be 12 inches long to be legal. They both taste good, and they both look the same. So I call them dinner.
Okay. Well, my best bet is about the same as yours, except I'm going to suggest outside of Bull and Turtle Bay, right along in those deeper waters, intermittent around the sandbars.
Might not be a bad idea. You get that influx of the warm Gulf on the incoming tide, it might not be a bad idea.
Well, I'm thinking that that's where the pompano, the trout, you're going to find a lot of fish on the outside of those bars after this cold weather. So you're thinking back inside, which I agree. The sun's going to cook it up. That back bay's going to get warmer.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. To me, I'm not sure that they're going to get there. I think outside of Turtle Bay, outside Bow Bay, look for the pompano, the trout, the redfish along the shorelines. I think we're both in the same spot, though. I think that not intercoastal, not harbor, Bow Bay, Turtle Bay,
yeah.
The outside of the bar in Jug Creek, outside of the bar in Turtle Bay is where I'm going to call good this week.
Well, the other thing that got me is you get a lot of people this year asking, this time of year, you know, where's the white bait at? I'm not talking about people that are new here.
Yeah, it's
people
in Key
that
West.
Have been here for 8-10 years.
But they haven't experienced much cold like this.
It's not just that, is we never have white bait in the wintertime up in this end of the harbor, and for some odd reason everybody's has gone asking for it. I mean, yes, it did stay a whole lot later than it usually does. I mean, we were on our fourth front before it really took off and emptied out of the harbor, but it's just something I've noticed this year is everybody's still looking for whitebait for some strange reason.
You got to remember, most people have not experienced cold winters in Florida. Most of them haven't been here that long, and they don't understand. You got to go all the way back into the 80s to find weather like this prolonged cold. And like I say, I remember doing snook fishing in snowmobile suits. When I first came down here, we still had our snowmobile suits and everything.
I do that now.
And you know, which is basically a big insulated overalls thing.
Sure.
But that's the only way you could be comfortable.
I wear that insulated rain suit.
Yeah.
And pick up people in shorts and tank tops.
Yeah, I know.
Are you cold? Are you crazy?
Florida's still the coldest 60 degrees.
Oh, world. Absolutely.
But anyway, I think I'm going to put that to it.
There you go.
And this is Fish and Frank, and across from me in the chair is Captain Kale. And just another day of radio fishing. And hopefully we did talk about something fishing. I'm not sure we did or didn't, but we did do something today. And want to say goodbye, Cap?
Goodbye, everybody.
Well, so long anyway. We'll see you later. Oh, fishing club this month, Luigi's, the 11th and 12th.
I believe it is the 11th and 12th.
11th and 12th. Meeting's all about cobia this month.
All about cobia.
So we were going to go on that, but we didn't get to go on that. So I guess we'll
I don't know how much information we'll have, but it will be good information.
Yeah. Mr. Satch and Mr. We're going to follow Mr. Satch and Mr. Crosby out. And they went fishing, and that's where we're going. We'll see you later, guys.
Instead of just the wishing.